Blog Talk Radio.
TeslinFigaro.com.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining me again on another edition of the District 5 election. We've covered about four or five different episodes, and now we are doing a final episode before the runoff election. Last week, voters went to the polls, and today we're going to see how that all chimes out, how the numbers look, who voted, why did they vote, what happened, how do we get there, and where do we go through in the future. Joining me on the line, I have three special guests with me this afternoon, attorney Chad Cronin, PR professional activist Randy Ross, and activist Mike Cantone. We're going to go through each one and hear all of the analysis. I have had the pleasure of, again, doing two or three different shows. We've had every background, including those who have lost their right to vote, to chime in on last week. Then two shows prior to that with several key community stakeholders within District 5 and outside of the district. And today I wanted to get a different perspective, a different panelist, a group of individuals who have certainly worked in the Orlando, Central Florida, and some on the national level, to hear what they have to say about District 5. You have an opportunity to give us a call at 347-327-9514. Again, that number is 347-325-9514. Check us out on Facebook if you're connected to anyone, any one of my guests or myself, Teslin Figaro, and you can click on the link and hear live or take the show with you on the road by calling in and listening to 347-327-9514. We'll be taking guests and commentary as we move forward. I'm going to start out and have a couple of minutes just for each panelist to give an opportunity to explain what they do and their bio, a little bit about their background, so you can hear directly from the horse's mouth. And I'm going to start off asking my guest, PR activist and activist Randy Ross, to introduce himself to the good folks out there, and then we'll go to the next. Good afternoon, Randy. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. My name is Randy Ross. I am the marketing and public relations director for a local museum here in Orlando. Created over a year ago a site called Orange County Political Voice, along with a couple of friends. And we created that site primarily to be able to have discussions that we felt were important when it came to Orange County politics. Have been watching this race really closely. Obviously, spent a lot of time on our page watching the race play out. Regina Hill is someone that I support and believe in. I might as well get that out in the beginning. and have lived in Orlando now for 23 years. Of the 23 years I've been here, have watched Commissioner Lynam be in place and feel it's time for a change in District 5. And even though I don't live in that district, feel it's important from my perspective, knowing that that particular person will represent decisions for all of the city of Orlando, that I understand who's running, why they're running, and who I think is best for that position.
All right, Randy, thank you. Did it perfect right on the needle. Okay, Mike Cantone, tell the people a little bit about you. Thank you so much for joining me. I know you and I have worked together over the years on certain Get Out to Vote initiatives, so I'm always excited when we can, work on actual real-life campaigns in the field or at least chat about that. So, Mike Cantone, please let everyone know what you do here in Florida and outside of Florida.
Yeah, and thank you, Tez, for hosting this. And it is great. Politics makes the community come alive and pulls us all together on the issues that are most important. Of course, I've been a community activist, focused on local politics since I moved here. Still currently active consulting for nonprofits, various candidate campaigns, as well as issue work, as well as providing demographics for polling. Very focused also locally since my own campaign here in the city of Orlando, working specifically for the last 2 years in the heart of District 5 in historic Paramore, downtown Orlando, and of course keeping City Hall on their toes and holding our mayor and city council accountable for the policies that they continue to push. So this race has been very interesting to follow. I'm eager to talk about the results and some of the ramifications and impact that it may have for our city.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining me. All right. Last and not least, we want to throw the mic to attorney Chad Cronin to tell us a little bit about what he does and how he is related to this particular show and why he's here. Thanks for joining us, Chad. Please let the people know what you do.
Thanks, Chaz. Thanks for having me today. My name is Chad Cronin. I am an attorney and I teach law here locally. I have been active in Orlando politics for the last 15 years, and I grew up here in Orlando from the time I was very young, and I've been representing people in the community and have been living in District 5 for the past 12 years, so I've been intimately involved in District 5 politics. However, this is the first race where I've actually seen a candidate that has actually inspired me in any local race in Orange County or the city of Orlando, and that person was Regina Hill. I met her a year ago, and when I spoke with her, I was looking for the real thing, the authentic person that would be the voice of the people, and she is that person. She goes out, she knocks on doors, she asks the voters what are their concerns. Before she can even talk about the issues, she realizes she doesn't know the issues until she hears the people. And then she processes it and then decides. And that is what a leader should do. That's how leaders earn the trust of the people. And I'm thrilled to be on the show, and I'm thrilled to be able to talk about Regina and anything else we want to talk to. I started my career in Washington, and then I moved back here, and glad to be here tonight.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I think because the community has really responded well to Regina, you'll find a lot of Regina Hill supporters out there. I've certainly always invited other candidates, supporters as well, to call the show. We've had one supporter on the line with Juan Line, and we've had some supporters for Cynthia Harris, and then, of course, Regina Hill. Make no mistake about it, I am her director of communications, so there's no confusion. I obviously support Regina Hill as well. But this particular show, we are going to examine, including our own, you know, choice of candidate and the issues that are out there, and just kind of, you know, the big elephant in the room to address a lot of the issues that we typically talk about on Facebook. I just wanted to give an opportunity so people can actually hear the voices behind the names, behind the sometimes often 200-plus posts just on one topic every day going into a literally a 24-hour period. So thank you, everybody, for joining me. And I'm going to start right off. We have about an hour's what I usually schedule for the show. Sometimes it goes a little further. If we end at an hour, fine. If we go a little bit further, then we certainly can do that. If the content is moving in a positive direction or, you know, moving forward, then we'll do that. But for right now, we're going to discuss a few issues, but I want to start out with Mike Cantone and the piece that he wrote right after the election that just broke down the numbers and how voters came out when there was three different candidates. Any one of my guests that want to respond to anything, you're certainly welcome to say, I would like to respond to that, and I'll shift straight to you. If not, I will call upon my guests to chime in on certain areas that I think they've been pretty passionate about. So, Mike, take it from here. Please let us know what happened last week on the election from how you see it.
Yeah, I think the numbers really were quite interesting to look at when you break it all down. And there was big news in last week's election, including the fact that Regina Hill came just within 37 votes of Juan Lynam, who was, of course, campaigning very heavily on his mother's name and legacy and her time on the city commission. So he basically was carrying that incumbent mantle, but was still only able to net 39% of the vote. So compared to Regina Hill's 37.3%, and Cynthia Harris is 23.5%, you can see just how tight this race really was. And of course, I took the position after the election in my immediate analysis that this was a very clear rejection by the voters and the community overall in downtown about the legacy that has been left by Commissioner Daisy Lynam, the legacy of poverty, of the destruction of Paramore, the loss of community. And really, almost building off of what Chad mentioned in the beginning, the lack of leadership, the lack of inspiration for this community and this seat on the council. So the fact that nearly 61% of the voters came out and voted and made it clear that they wanted change in this district, I think is one of the biggest takeaways from the election results. Heading into a runoff between Juan Lynam and Regina Hill, I think this race being neck and neck clearly puts and shifts the momentum in the Hill camp. And I think that's why we've seen some interesting reactions from Juan Lynam and his campaign in the aftermath of these election results. You know, he instantly started attacking, going negative. Just today I'm hearing, or just this weekend, he's shifting tune now and trying to pick up this change mantle, which is quite different than him saying he was going to continue his mother's legacy. So I think, as Regina Hill said after election, it looks like democracy is winning and that the people's voices are finally starting to break through the noise of City Hall. And that was my major takeaway with the results. Of course, it was also, as you know, Ted Lynn, a very high turnout considering this election, this district's election history. But the fact that Juan Lineham ended the race with 743 votes and Regina Hill came in at 706 votes, Cynthia Harris, a very respectable 446 votes, really shows you that this district is ready for change.
Right. Randy, a lot of people said, and I'm glad you chimed on that. I'll chime in, Mike, because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, today on Facebook, it was a back and forth, you know, debate about, oh, well, you know, we don't have the voters and we need to be talking about the 20,000 voters and why they didn't come out. Well, again, based upon, like you said, Mike, based upon the history of this district, there was a high turnout, especially when you're talking about in the middle of the year and only one race and not a Barack Obama or some federal election that's attached to the campaign. So looking at those things, there certainly was an increase in turnout, but as we know, well, of course we need to get more people at the polls. You and I have certainly been talking about that since 2008, so there's no question about that. But we still cannot discount that something did happen. There was some type of change. Randy, I want to ask you, when you know we were criticized for saying that 60% of people, whether they like it or not, 60% of people did not choose Juan Lineham. They said that, well, that doesn't mean that, you know, those Cynthia Harris voters would necessarily vote for Hill. And I certainly don't think that that is what Regina Hill is saying. What she's saying is that if 60 people had an opportunity to vote for Juan Lineham with the resources, the money, the name recognition, and chose otherwise, we cannot ignore that. Juan's response was, his supporters, said that, you know, well, Juan just got in the race 60 days ago. Well, not true. Remember, because Juan's been using Daisy Lineham signs. He used the signs that had been sitting out there 6 to 7 months prior to, if not longer, if I'm not mistaken. Can you chime in on that, Randy? What is it? Is the Cynthia Harris vote a vote against Juan Lineham or just for Cynthia Harris, or can those voters shift to Regina Hill since their platforms were pretty similar? What's your thought on that?
Well, you know, I like Cynthia. She's a great lady. I've met her. She's a nice person. I believe we need to just take a step back and just look at the difference between the last time a Lineham won and what was going on in social media and what's going on now. I think that the reality is back in, you know, 2008, Facebook was kind of on the horizon. It was working. It was out there. I think I joined in 2009. I think Facebook played a huge role in how this election played out in the end. You got to see Regina Hill, for example, being out there doing the 24 hours for Mrs. Smith Project, helping revitalize a 96-year-old woman's house. You got to see her out working in the district. You got to see things. And here's the thing. The Lineham's got into this place where they thought their work in the past was what was going to resonate through the future. We didn't get to see that because we weren't paying attention on social media. In social media, Regina Hill got to rise because, in fact, she was out there meeting people, and we were seeing pictures of her meeting people. We were seeing videos of her talking. We were seeing all those things. We were seeing it differently than we'd ever seen it before. And I think that is, and that in turn has suggested to all of us, and I think Michael would agree and Chad would agree with this, and I'm sure you would too, it's changing how we're looking at politics moving forward. We get to create these platforms of opportunity. Today I put a post up, for example, that Juan Lineham was on Channel 9, and he is basically totally changing from being mama's boy to being a person that's out there going to lead differently. A week ago, he was not in that position. Did he not know a week ago before this election that he was going to be this emerging leader that was not going to follow his mom's legacy? Absolutely. What they watched was Regina Hill got out there on the front. She was never wavering, and he was wavering and is wavering again. He's pandering now to the constituents. So the bottom line is I don't believe him. I don't think he's going to be a person or a leader that's going to be out there doing things that need to be done for the people. I think Regina, and I'll shut up after this, I think Regina has already illustrated to us that she's out there doing it for the people. And through social media and Facebook, we love watching that. And as a result, we want to watch her succeed. We want to see her win.
Chaz, I'd like to respond to that just real quick.
Sure.
I have a little bit of a different take on that. I think that social media is vitally important for a lot of campaigns. But social media in this election was vitally important to get the message out to some constituents, but not to everybody. Regina Hill ran a true grassroots, from the ground up, for the people campaign. She was knocking on doors. She was talking to people. She was visiting different neighborhoods. She was finding out what the issues were from those people. It should be no surprise that you saw a great turnout. April 8th, number one, is a very weird day to have an election. Nobody learned in school that you're supposed to go out and vote in April. So
right.
the numbers speak for themselves, right? I mean, unless you're really into politics, you're not going to know to go out and vote on April 8th. I think what changed the message, or what changed and motivated people, was her message in that she was the first candidate that was actually listening. And that mm-hmm. meant something to people. For a long time, they felt like their voices were not being heard and shut out. And so why? Why go to the polls if you're not being represented in a representative democracy? It doesn't
mm-hmm.
work that way. And so
that leads us to transition the conversation. Initially, I have said many, many times, Regina knows it, everybody knows it, Mike certainly knows it because we talked about it for months and months. I did not want to have anything to do with this election. I really, really didn't. I wanted to focus on Orange County District 6. I know three or four people personally who are running in that race. I thought that was going to be truly the race to watch. I honestly, when I looked at the beginning of this race and I looked at the candidates, I looked at the spread of the candidates, I honestly just did not think that Regina had a chance in hell, her or Cynthia, to be quite honest. I was concerned about the baggage because just coming from the political world on what candidates should do, say, think, act, you know, I was concerned that that would bother people. It was something that I didn't want to be a part of. But when Regina Hill reached out to me and I had a conversation with both her and Cynthia at the same time, I really was touched by her spirit. I mean, it's just undeniable. You just can't deny it. And after talking to her and seeing how she was being beat up time and time and time again in the media, no one, you know, of course she has supporters, but not really a strong infrastructure that she needed, you know, in order to move forward, because you're right, Chad, she was knocking on those doors, she was doing the work. And so that's when I decided to step in and join her team as well of others who have been helping her, because I just saw it as somebody who really, really wanted it. Even if I didn't think that, okay, this is the perfect candidate out of a box that, you know, fits all the buttons and the, you know, the check marks on what everyone should have, but I could not deny how bad she wants it. And after knowing Juan, one of the first people that I met when I got to Orlando, I've never seen him work this hard. I know he says that behind the scenes he does this or that, but my question is, Mike, where is Juan's supporters? Why is it just one or two people on Facebook who fight for him all day long? Where are the people that he's represented in court? Where are the people that he's got off of criminal charges? Where are the people that he's got insurance? I mean, where are his supporters? Should there not be more supporters that rise up and fight for him? He's part of an attorney. He's an attorney. That's a legal community that certainly can speak volumes. He has a fraternity, Omegas, that could speak volumes that I don't see stepping up. He comes from a church home that I don't see stepping up, just really, truly on the front lines. I mean, every resource that you can think of, Juan Lynam has. Why is that not working for him?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. That's a great question. But real quick, I do want to circle back and just respond just briefly on the social media as well. And I agree. I think how Regina Hill captured social media was crucial to her telling her narrative and building support. It did, Tez, as you mentioned, help her put the baggage aside. But honestly, it helped, I think, deflate Juan Lynam's immediate momentum that he was counting on at the beginning of the race, which is tied to the question you just asked. Her social media activity amplified her message, so it pushed back against the known Lynam bully tactics, and they didn't work this year as they have worked in other years. But I do agree with Chad, though. I don't know how many actual Regina Hill voters were engaged, or Juan voters, social media-wise, and I think that's where, and I still believe in it, as you know all along, it's that grassroots, and it's that passion of who wants it and who's going to fight for it. And in a district that has been struggling for decades, what they need is someone who's going to fight for it, and I think that ties exactly to where are Juan's supporters. Clearly, he has the financial support. He outraised candidates. He has the money. He has the establishment support through his mother's connections in City Hall. And I think you are going to see them have to respond to the initial election results and ramp that up in this runoff election. However, I think his supporters are the exact opposite of where Regina Hill finds her support. She finds her support door to door, on the streets, neighborhood to neighborhood throughout District 5. And Juan Lynam supporters really do come from the status quo establishment, the Daisy Lynam supporters, the out-of-state developers, the big contributors to the venues. You know, that is the community he is running to represent, and I think that's why voters have to look at the difference in how these candidates are approaching this campaign and running their campaign. Who are they truly going to represent? And I think Regina Hill has made it clear all along that she's ready to represent the people, and especially the people that have been left out of the table all along.
And I'd like to step in to make a comment on that as well.
Let me, one second, Chad, before you say that, I just want to give the numbers right quick so we'll know exactly what we're talking about. Juan raised $32,950. Regina raised $7,806.19, which more than half of that, more than half than that, was actually from in-kind. So I just wanted to throw those two numbers out there so we can see the, you know, the grave difference between it. Me personally, even being a part of her social media campaign, I'm such a ground person that I think that all elections are won on the ground. But I have to agree with both Mike and Randy that the social media has certainly played, a role in at least getting people to pay attention. Just this show along, as I was explaining to you gentlemen before we got on the line, close to 2,000 people have downloaded these shows. I've done nothing but do this particular topic for the last 60 days, and they're unique hits because Blog Talk Radio does not count your computer twice. So people have been engaged at some point, whether they've been in the district, out of the district, whatever, but I do think that's played a role. Go ahead, Chad.
No, it's Randy.
Randy.
One of the things if we go back to what happened the week of qualifying, for me that was really the telltale. When she went to that community meeting, because she had already sensed that people weren't real happy with her. She already sensed that they weren't ready for her to run again. And then all of a sudden you get to that day of qualifying, and what happens? She says she's not going to run. Her son jumps into the race. I think that was all very, very tactical. I think that was all there was a strategy there. They knew somebody somewhere said, you know what? You probably aren't going to win if you run again. Do you really want to be a loser, or do we want to put Juan in there? And I think it was a very specific concept of doing it. And I think, therefore, that's why in the beginning we didn't see them doing much, because the reality is they didn't think Regina Hill had a chance in hell. They certainly – because we all probably agreed that Cynthia Schooling Harris and Regina were canceling each other out a little bit. There was a little bit of concern that Juan might very well be able to ride on that. And I think the voters came out, and what they said was, guess what? No, we were very clear. We know exactly who was running, and we knew that we still didn't want him in that position, and therefore we wanted somebody different. So I think there's much more going on here than we talked about.
Okay, so if Cynthia wasn't in the race, just a quick yes or no, would Regina have been able to win by landslide?
Yes.
Randy?
That's Randy Ross saying yes.
Okay, Mike?
I can't say that. I think it would have been a totally different race and a totally different outcome.
Totally different outcome. Okay, Chad?
I'm prepared to say yes. I didn't doubt Regina's message, and I didn't doubt that she would connect with people. And when you do the work speaks for itself. So I was fairly convinced that she was going to, and didn't doubt it the entire time.
Okay, tell us why you think it would have been a different outcome, Mike. What would the narrative have been?
I think it's impossible to say without Cynthia Harris in the race how this election would have played out from start to finish, including just the strategies that every candidate ended up taking. And I do want to point out that as much as the work does speak for itself. Elections in the city of Orlando, specifically around absentee ballot turnout, are still in question. Let's not debate the fact that Regina Hill and Juan Lynam were within 5 absentee votes of each other, and both of them did hire questionable services that do collect absentee ballots, and I think that that had a definite impact on the race. Without Cynthia, it still could have ended up 50-50. I think Regina Hill has an opening with Cynthia Harris voters now because, yes, I agree, Cynthia Harris voters were change voters. That would open the door to Regina. I don't think they will instantly support Regina, but I think she does have the open door for them.
But I think that opens a whole question right there. Let's go back to how did Juan even get into this? I mean, we don't even know where he lives. I mean, it's one of these really kind of – who has – I mean, I live right downtown. My house is literally a mile away from Paramore, so my district butts up to that district. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I couldn't afford three different places to live. So does he live in whatever county that is? Does he live in Tampa or does he live here? And it really boils down to, even if he still says he lives here, how do you decide what percentage of the time you? It's almost like, what's that reasonable doubt? How much of the time do you live in a certain place? Is that really your homestead? I think that's
well,
it right there. I think Elena Brenner really blew it. I think she should never have qualified him
to run
for this position. And I think there, right there, is a big problem. How in the world did Elena Brenner, who is the clerk for the city of Orlando, decide because someone handed her a cup? She had to have bigger questions than that when she did that. I just don't believe it.
Well, everybody knew. I mean, just honestly, and Mike, you know this, when I ran, Juan and I ran against each other for just a couple of months. We didn't have any issues because I got off the ballot. He got off the ballot. We didn't have nothing to the extreme of this issue. But everybody knew that Juan went to Tampa. Everybody knew it. Everybody that knew him knew that Juan went to Tampa. He kind of wanted to just keep his head down. He got tired of having to, you know, deal with all of the Orlando political baggage, which is totally understandable, and that he just wanted to get away and, you know, spend some time with getting married and raising his family. And everyone knew it. That's why the talk was forever, because Daisy had always said that she was going to retire, and that was the word on the streets. Mike and I talked about this 2 years ago. You know, that was everybody, she's going to retire. You know, what's going to happen next? They were looking for somebody to put in the seat. We knew that she would not retire without her giving the head nod to putting somebody in the seat that she could approve with. We talked about it in length, that it couldn't be Juan because he's in Tampa. So everyone knew it, which is why I'm shocked that either Juan doesn't believe that people – I don't know, Mike. I can't even put my words together because we all knew this. This was like known talk, you know. So to come out and to say that you've been here all this time, to me, is the highest level of arrogance, or either you think we're retarded or you were planning on just slipping through the system. What happened with that, Mike?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, and I'm sure the others. I mean, it's just blatant arrogance and ignorance and entitlement, right? Daisy Lynam and Juan Lynam feel entitled to the seat, entitled to the contracts, connections, and benefits that they've exploited from this seat on the city council for the last 16 years. And, you know, when the power gets desperate, and I think Regina Hill and Cynthia helped make that even more desperate on the Lynam side, power acts this way, and it does raise some serious questions. But I agree with you. In fact, it was a known rumor just within 2 years ago that part of the reason Juan had left town was he was sick of defending his mother against the criticism, because he did agree it was time probably for her to move on. And it is interesting. I think Randy brings up a great point real quick to tie back to what he mentioned about that qualifying week. Let's not forget what came right before Juan entered this race, which was a total smear campaign launched against Regina Hill and Cynthia Harris. They intended to scare these candidates out of the race to pave the way for an unchallenged race for Juan where no questions could be asked. So I think Regina Hill deserves even more credit for that because Tezlin and Randy and Chad, as you all know, when dirt gets flung, and especially that personal and that vindictive of a smear campaign method, a lot of candidates would turn the other way, would back away, or would retreat, and we saw the exact opposite in District 5.
Absolutely.
Had they waited until the week before the election to dump all the dirt on Regina, they would have been far more successful than doing it a month in advance. And we all got to then rally behind her and say, you know what, we all make mistakes. We're not perfect.
Right.
Let's figure out a way to make it through. And all of a sudden, all that baggage didn't mean anything anymore.
Right, absolutely. And isn't that campaigning one-on-one? That's like consulting one-on-one. Who's advising?
They did it way too early.
Everybody knows you're supposed to drop the
and
dirt.
I think they knew they were in trouble with Juan's candidacy from the start, which is why they felt they really had to clear the field at qualifying. And I think their campaign's been derailed ever since that day.
Yeah, and we learned.
I agree. I live 10 houses. I'm sorry, Tez. I live 10 houses away from Daisy. I've lived 10 houses away from her for 12 years. I have not seen Juan Lyman in that 12 years. I saw him for the first time when he declared for candidacy. So the idea that he actually lives in my neighborhood is just simply not true. I've also been in the courtrooms in Orange, Seminole, and Osceola County for 12 years. Never seen him there either. So
never seen him there. And I don't know what you look like to be able to.
He lives and works in Orange, in here, in this neighborhood,
no doubt,
this district. Not true.
Somebody would have seen you. And also, I didn't know you prior to now, but I've been a mediator since 2008. Almost 200 cases there on a monthly basis in the Ninth Judicial Circuit, and I've never seen Juan Lyman in the courthouse. So, again, these are, obvious. This is why you don't see the attorney community rallying. This is why you don't see the judicial community rallying on the judge level. This is why you don't see the church, even New Covenant, what he was a member of. And I understand that the Bracys have to support him because I met with the Bracys early on, and I was a candidate at the same time as Juan, and they told me they do support their church members. But Juan wasn't even going to the church then. Daisy was. He left New Covenant even at that time. They're continuing with that support and allegiance because it just is what it is. But even he even left the church. He has not been involved with the Omegas, as he should have been. The only organization that Juan has been involved with was with the Circle of Friends early on with the African American Chamber of Commerce. And after that fell apart and things fell apart at the African American Chamber of Commerce, he was pretty much done with it. He stood on the steps a couple of times with Natalie Jackson, and then after that, that was it. I mean, that's just the honest truth. It's not anything personally against Juan. I have nothing personal against him. I just know that his heart is not in it because it usually shows in your work ethic. Who threw dirt first? You know, we sit on Facebook a lot, and they say that, oh, Regina's smearing. Let's just be really clear. Her campaign,
absolutely,
as far
not
as my personal opinion versus the campaign, doing her communications are two totally different things. But I can tell you, even on both sides, it's always been responsive to what they have said. It's not fair to throw a punch, and then we throw a punch, and our punch just seems to be a little bit harder and a little bit faster and a little bit stronger to then say that, oh, Regina's smearing. No, Regina's not smearing. Juan Lyman has been the one that has consistently made the comments, even now, which will be coming out here shortly this afternoon. Juan Lyman said in the Orlando Sentinel on last week, I can't believe that people would rally behind someone like Regina Hill. What does that imply? What does that mean, Chad? Who's someone like Regina Hill, meaning what?
What someone like Regina Hill means is an American success story. I don't know anyone who comes from a childhood that doesn't have some scars and some battle scars from living in a life. And so for them to bring up things that happened in her past as if that's the person that she is today is somewhat remarkable. Because if we all look back in our history, we all have things that we wish was not there. So the fact that they did that, they were the ones who went personal and negative. Regina's campaign has only been pointing out factual information. As Mike can verify with you as well, you know, the records speak for themselves. When you go down to Alana Brenner and you get the documents that are supposed to be filed pursuant to the city code, every other candidate, Cynthia and Regina, filed all the appropriate documentation. There was a missing document from Juan Lyman. So the question it goes back to is what Mike and Randy were talking about before. Why did the city clerk qualify someone who had not complied with the city code? And where was the supervisor of elections when this issue was raised? Why is this community continuing to be ignored by the powers at City Hall? And can you imagine the reaction they're having right now, knowing that she took 37% of the vote? And they know.
Let me tell you, I've been reaching out to everybody you can possibly imagine to let them know. By the way, you might want to spend 5 minutes with Regina because she may very well be the new city council person. Mm-hmm. The concept – here's the challenge we face in that district. And I think you face it in all districts, actually.
This is Randy talking. I just want to make sure they know.
This is Randy.
Okay.
Yeah, the reality is people are afraid of the Lyman's. I have a very good friend that was a former Miss America that I said, you should be getting in this race and running. This was long before I even knew Regina. And she's like, no way, Randy, I can't do that because that will be bad for my family. And I started listening to Regina when she was on the campaign trail because when we were in the 24 Hours Mrs. Smith project, trust me, that was not easy. That was a tough project, a white gay guy going into that district and working and trying to understand everything and trying to deal with it. It was really tough to realize. And what I started realizing is that the black community operates a little bit differently. They do believe in people like Regina, meaning that they trust that she went through all that shit so that she – oh, my God, can I say that on your radio show?
Yeah, you can
so
say it.
So she can come out on the other side, and she can tell all these people, I'm a nurse now. I am a person. I'm a leader in this community now. I helped make this better. You can do this, too. You don't have to do all that other stuff. That's why she's so powerful. And I look at it, and I'm saying, when Daisy Linen keeps saying, I don't know who you are. Who's that thug? When she refers to Regina that way, it hurts me in the heart because I'm thinking to myself, that not only is that a person that I'm helping, that's a friend of mine. What are you talking about her like that for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I start realigning where I think the voters in the district are really trying to position themselves when they're making choices in this situation. I don't think they want to hear an elitist black make these choices. I think
exactly.
They want,
and how many times, Mike, has Daisy been quoted? Literally. And I know they keep saying this is not about Daisy, but it is about Daisy because
it is
Juan
about Daisy.
Is Daisy's son. Let's just be clear. You know, I told our other good friends who are on the other side that, you know, constantly you know, stand up for Juan Lineman. I want to make it clear to them that their elected official parents and grandparents do not have the same resumes. And I feel that he's capitalizing off that support because of, you know, it's just like almost if someone comes pick on someone else that's similar to me, I'm going to take it personal. And he's capitalizing off that support. Needless to say that Daisy Lineham is a politician like no other. We cannot ignore that she's been quoted in papers saying these people in Paramore, these people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mike, I know that's something you've been working on for a long time.
You never heard that from Kat or Mabel. You never heard it
absolutely.
From Kat. You never
no
heard
one
it from
says
Mabel.
It.
Nobody
right.
says
who,
that.
Who says that? Who says these
know.
People – and
other
then
than
actually,
Daisy and Juan.
Right, other than Daisy. Now, if a white person came in and said these people, because let me put that elephant out in the room, I wanted a show with nothing but white people this time. I did it strategically. It was no confusion. That's why I wanted everyone's picture. I wanted to make it clear that I wanted everyone to have an opportunity
Whoa,
to
Whoa, you
have
use
their...
me.
yeah, you're the token. I wanted to make sure that people knew because you saw it come up even in the chat on Facebook. You know, they say, oh, well, you know, you're just some white guys. Because whenever it gets down to dealing with the real issues, you have to go to the obvious. The same way people do it with white people, they do it with black.
Sure.
The question is, has Juan done the work, yes or no? The answer is no. So
no.
How, when we talk about, well, it's not fair to attach Daisy to Juan, how has he separated himself from Daisy?
If Juan had been out in the community doing things all along, we wouldn't be having this radio show right now. We would be sitting there trying to compare apples and apples, oranges and oranges. He hasn't done the work. He's not been out there knocking on the doors, standing on the corners, doing all the things that need to be doing, waving signs. He didn't do all that. Even when he was waving signs on Channel 9, I saw him on his phone. He looked at it almost like it was a burden. Every time they keep showing the footage of him, they show him on his phone with his sign. I'm thinking, it can't get better than that because he doesn't
care. Well,
let's
just be honest.
He's
let's
doing
be
it
honest,
because
Mike.
He
you
wants
and
to
I,
get his mom ask him to.
Yeah, you and I, let's be honest. Mike and I both early on with, you know, helped out with the Bill Siegel campaign, and Juan was a part of that. And I, you know, when we had to show up with the volunteers and for the MLK parade, and I showed up with 30 people, and Juan showed up late with zero people, even though he's supposed to bring the volunteers. He's never been a worker. No disrespect, it's just real. He's never been a worker, plain and simple. So when you go up against a worker, despite the fact that you have the resume, you have the law degree, you have all of that, when you go up against a workhorse, you're in trouble. And that's what Regina Hill is. She is a worker. She's on the ground. She's knocking on doors. This girl, I mean, I wish I could share all the things she goes through in a 24-hour period, but obviously I can't. But I can assure you that I do not know how she's weathered the storm, because even me, when I was on the ballot, I didn't care what my resume said. I put 300 people to work in the city. When I had to start dealing with all of the issues that Regina was, especially with having a small child, I got off. I said, it's not worth it. Mike and Tone and everybody else can call me all day long and say, run, run, run. No, I'm sitting my butt down, because there's no way that I would weather, you know, and endure all of the things that candidates have to go through, you know, just to get that 1, 2, 3 vote. So every vote, I can say, and I know, Mike, you have, you know, a different opinion on absentee ballots, and certainly understandable, like I've told you before, you've been working on that as an issue for years, you know, way before Regina Hill came into the picture. But any vote that I feel that she received, I really truly believe she earned. You're talking about somebody
Absolutely.
That no one knew, you know, that no one knew, that went from no one to someone. And so for him to say she's still a no one, and when I say no one, I mean name recognition. She's always been somebody. But name recognition, she now trumps you. You know, and even Mike, I think you have said you were pretty shocked to see the results, you know, and how people came out. Because look at the mayor's race. I mean, those numbers were ridiculous, and that was for the city of Orlando mayor.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes back to, this is Mike speaking, that goes back to what Mayor Dyer and Commissioner Lynham and the rest of the city council did when they switched election dates. I know Chad mentioned it. These are all tactics to reduce turnout, to lower turnout. You know, Mayor Dyer, sadly, in 2012 said, the historic low voter turnout just proved that people are complacent with the way things are. You know, that's ridiculous. We need to get more people out there. We need to get them voting and engaged. And it is still sad how few voices locally are registering at the polls. That is definitely something. I think that also ties back to other efforts, though. I mean, let's look at the bigger picture here. We have a group right now, a coalition of organizations representing different facets of the community who are focusing on, quote, vote local, yet that coalition never once mentioned the city of Orlando elections. They never once mentioned the election date, told voters to get out there and make their voice known, and this is all the larger factors of why District 5 specifically has been left behind for so many years while the rest of the city advances.
Right.
And
so
the question, Mike,
say, go ahead, Chad.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say the question, Mike, is where is the coalition coming out to do this? If the election has been moved to a very odd date that no one else knows, it's, again, hiding the ball. If people don't know what the date is, they're not going to turn up. It's not that they're not engaged. The one thing that I gleaned from this is that people are hungry for the real thing. And if the message is real and it's authentic and you are truly going to be their voice when they have not had a voice for 16 years, they're going to turn up and they're going to come out and vote if they can, if the state
right,
of Florida allows.
Right, but when we say not engaged, I wasn't engaged because who wants to vote for somebody that you don't believe in? You know, a lot of times, particularly in the African-American community, it's always, you know, just vote, just as long as you vote for somebody. I've been told that by elected leaders who hold leadership roles in Orlando, Florida, black elected officials, to say it doesn't matter, just vote for someone. You just have to vote for someone. That's why one reason I went to switch as an independent. But earlier on, I stayed a Democrat because I felt that I needed to at least make my voice heard in the primary election, even if it was somebody I didn't believe in. And, you know, and I said, you know what, I don't know if I just want to just keep voting just to vote, because that's how a lot of people have been getting by. If everybody just shut down the system, period, and have a government vote shut down, then candidates will be forced to come out and vet. But unfortunately, we also can experience the repercussion of that, which means that if people don't vote, then Daisy Lynham can continue, candidates like her can continue to get in the seat with 600-plus votes. I find it hilarious that people are all of a sudden talking about get out to vote and get out to vote, and we need to increase the numbers. Where were these people when these numbers were favoring their team? When it was favoring Juan Lynham's team, there was no get-out-to-vote effort. That's why I put the post on there, Randy, on Facebook, not to brag or to say, oh, look at what I've done, but to be crystal clear, I've done 12 get-out-to-vote events. Where were you? Where were you? Because I definitely didn't see you. So where were you? If you're so interested in get-out-to-vote now, then where does the get-out-to-vote initiative show, particularly in that community? No, you're only talking about it now because you're running out of arguments, you're desperate, and now you have to switch it to, oh, well, we just need to rally. We're not going to wake up Lazarus in the next 2 weeks. This is focused on trying to, one, get the super voters to switch their allegiance, to understand that Regina can win, and two, try to galvanize to get a few more voters. Just to get 300 or 400 more votes was huge, because remember, how many, Mike, did they actually throw out? I've heard 600, I've heard 1,300. How many votes were actually thrown out?
No, I was actually, yeah, I'm glad you... I was actually down at the Supervisor of Elections office before the city of Orlando took control of the ballots on Friday, and there was actually only 42 discarded ballots that I was able to review. So I know that there were other numbers out there, but I'd also like to really quickly respond, because I think you and Randy and Chad are all correct. I think that establishment force and power and the low turnout, that is even more proof of the work that was done on the ground. The fact that Regina Hill and Cynthia Harris combined shut down this establishment force that had railroaded through local elections with 60% of the vote choosing another option, I think that's just too huge to ignore.
Yeah,
it's a victory for democracy.
Mike, Yeah, initially I said, you know, Cynthia or Regina needs to get out and support each other and to push for each other. When I realized that wasn't going to happen, I said it's still going to be a benefit to either of the ladies because they're still pushing out the vote, you know, because if it had just been one person versus one, I think Regina would have shaped up well, but then again, I'm kind of leaning a little bit towards what Mike said. I really don't know, just because he would have had the firepower money-wise to have people actually on the ground canvassing, doing the things that Regina didn't. So I think by at least Cynthia Harris has said on the radio she has 60% of the vote, which we see the numbers did not show that, but the effort that she did put forth did at least make another group of people you know, pay attention to what they normally would.
Well, you know, I was at the event, at the church. I think it was right there. It was obviously right in Paramore. And I got to be honest, if I had closed my eyes, I would have been convinced that I was listening to Regina and I was listening to Cynthia, but I wasn't sure who Juan was. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Juan spent more time in that final debate prior to the election questioning how they were responding to the questions. Then he
Absolutely.
Was telling me, what's his plan? I don't know
oh,
what his plan
Oh, man, I'm
is,
glad
Juan.
You said that, Randy. I was just going
to
ask
you. It sounds
you,
to me like you're following your mom's plan.
Yeah, what
yeah,
was up
it,
with him
I never
I
got any.
every,
I didn't get any inspiration. And I was one of the only white people in the whole room. I was, you know, we were sitting there, and afterwards, we had so many people because we had Regina Hill signs with us, my friend Linda Santiago and I. We were like, they were like coming up and saying, hey, we like her. You know why? Because she responded to everything that audience wanted to hear, needed to hear, and desired to hear.
Okay, Randy.
She really was sending the right message to the audience,
yeah.
And she wasn't bullshitting. She was being honest.
Yeah. Quick question, Randy. Juan said, and it's so funny you said that because that was going to be the next thing I brought up. In the debate, before he answered the question, he said arrogantly to me, in my opinion, okay, what you asked was three things. He said it real slow as if no one was answering the question because perhaps they couldn't comprehend the question. When you watch the tape, everybody was responding.
That's exactly
when they
how
said
it was.
When they said three things you're going to do, Regina had said three things is going to do. Cynthia said three things. Then the mic goes to Juan and said, okay, so what you said is three things
exactly.
that we're going to do. He did that each and every time as if he was showing that he was so, he comprehended so much. See, his little digs like that, Juan line.
He was being a lawyer. He was not being a candidate for the people. He was
exactly.
not sitting up and saying,
well,
guess
being
what?
A terrible lawyer.
I'm
going to
do
lawyer.
Something for you. Here's what I want to do for you, community. I'm going to just follow what my mom did. And by the way, I'm going to use my tactic to go against these people. These people were Cynthia and Regina were the two that were telling you what they were going to do. And I found it almost, I even heard the hisses around me of like, what is he talking about?
Oh,
it related to me how disconnected he was from his district. Well, then again,
let me give the call.
So how could he?
Let me give the number in case of those who are listening. You're listening to the District 5 election, post-election analysis. We have Chad Cronin on the line, Mike Contone, Randy Ross. We're talking about it. You can certainly call in at 347-327-9514. I apologize. I got so lost in the content of the commentary that I forgot to give you the number again. But, again, it's 347-327-9514. You can call in or listen live. Back to the
debate. We
want to
hear your voice. We want to hear
Yeah,
your
we
voice,
want to hear
your
voice.
Ideas.
Come on, speak up. People on Facebook, you've talked about it. We've talked about it behind the scenes. This certainly doesn't have to be the Regina Hill Show. Juan Lynam supporters are welcome. The two people, only two that we know.
Jabril
that,
and Stacey, call.
Yes, Jabril and Stacey. They're the only ones. They're welcome to call in. I think they got upset with me at the last show. But it's okay. It's just politics. But people are welcome to call in. I'll let you guys go back to talking about the debate and how I think that debate was really – if you look at the before the first debate – and remember, Regina's a newcomer to this. When you look at the first conversation, I know we get so scared of saying debate, it was a totally different Regina. She came out stronger. She came out clear. Her connection with the people were clear. I'm going to be honest. As a part of her team, I was nervous about her going to that debate because I knew that it was the NAACP, which Juan bragged about on being a lifetime member. It was the African American Coalition, which I knew that Reverend Bracey led for a very long time, and I knew that his supporters would be in the audience. I was actually very concerned that she would go in a room full of people that supported Juan Lynam. Once I saw that debate and heard the people actually making responses to Regina, I think that really was the nail that was put in the coffin. What do you guys think?
Well, I agree. I'm a huge fan of LaVon Bracey. I ran against LaVon Bracey in 2000 for Orange County School Board. She beat me. She didn't ultimately win, but I think she's an amazing woman, and I knew she'd be fair. I watched her at DEC meetings. I never had a fear about them or anyone in that audience. I actually believe that Regina won that debate, and I'll shut up.
Well, I didn't think, and let me be clear, I didn't say fear. I just, you know, when you're trying, you want your candidate to always be, you know, positioned in the best position possible. And I know that all of the, you know, the stress and everything that we're going through, I just said, you know, I wonder how people are going to receive her. Are they going to, you know, give her an opportunity, vice versa, whatever. So, no, I know she would go in there.
She stepped up.
Yeah,
she got all the naysayers off the,
yeah,
off the fence. And they, the people that came to that looking for a solution got it that night because she did what she needed to do.
Well, she answered the questions, Tez, and she did that in the first at the forum that was held at the Rock Lake Community Center a few weeks before the one that was held at the Mount Zion Church over down the street from here. But in the first debate, what we heard from Juan was the same thing that we heard in the second one. It was a top-down approach where it was almost as if there was a wall between him and the listener that when he was answering the questions. And it was also very, very, very condescending to the point of being almost off-putting, as if people could not think for themselves, as if he was telling them how they needed to think. And you don't hear Regina say that. You know, Regina's asking a lot of questions and then putting forward how she is going to represent people. And that is what people who have been left out of the process, as Mike said earlier, almost looking out through a window, looking in at the table and saying, we've been out here for 16 years. We thought we had a voice, but we have not had the voice in there. And they want it now.
Right. And then, and what was the killer? I can pick a couple different things that I thought was really like a big boo-boo on Juan's end. One, saying we have to do what Buddy Dyer says. We just have to accept it.
what about the magic?
Yeah. I mean, are you serious? We have to do what Buddy Dyer says, and we just have to accept it. I know he's been trying to be a lawyer, Chad, but he's being a terrible lawyer. And also with him changing his now, changing his direction, all lawyers know that if you change, you can't change the timeline in the middle of the trial unless you're representing the guilty. So perhaps Juan Lynam is guilty of not serving his people. Perhaps Juan Lynam is guilty of trying to get in on the under as his mother. Perhaps Juan Lynam is guilty of being self-serving. If you have an opinion, you can give us a call at 347-327-9514, 347-327-9514. Chad, what type of attorney is Juan Lynam who changes his messaging in the middle, literally 2.5 weeks before the campaign?
Well, I don't know what kind of attorney Juan Lynam is because I have never met Juan Lynam, nor have I ever seen him in a courtroom. But I can tell you what type of attorney I am. I'm a trial attorney. And one of the things that we learn very early on when you're doing trials is that you always stay with a theme and a theory to your case, which is sort of the same thing in politics with your message. And what you do is you stick with it, and you can't change it in front of the jury because then it looks inconsistent, and inconsistent looks cheap, false, and you lose the jury and you lose the case. Remember, it's not just the guilty because everybody deserves a shot and because everybody's innocent until proven guilty. So there's nothing wrong with representing anybody that's guilty. I would have no objection if Juan Lynam actually did that, but he doesn't. So
no, I'm saying he's proven to be guilty. That's why he has to switch the narrative to perhaps
I think the fact that we're up to 200 posts right now on Orange County Political Voice on a post I put up today about a thread or a thing on Channel 9 that nobody's even seen unless they've seen it. I mean, the people that have seen it have commented, but it's not even in the thread. And what's ironic about that is that he came out and said he's a different person. He's going to not follow his mom's lead anymore. He's going to do something else. You can't do that 3 weeks prior to a runoff. He's going to have to now spend the next 3 weeks branding himself as the independent Lynam.
Does anybody believe
that? Put the pacifier in your mouth. It's not possible to do that in 3 weeks unless people just want to Lynam in office. I think it's going to be very hard to get people to – because in the end, it's all about coming out the vote. Mike Cantone, I know you know this. You got to get people out to vote. You and I were both in the same year, same election. We both lost, and it was all about we didn't get enough people out to vote back in 2012. It comes down to if you can't get them out to vote, and I think that as you near your hour, I hope that that's possible, that we can really focus on who and how are we going to get people out to vote in a district that in the past has not always had a great turnout. They did on this one, but now you got to get them come out again to vote again. That's a big deal.
That's going to be a big deal, and I, you know, it's going to come down to the voters that they've already capitalized on, and which whoever can go get those 400 plus that have went for Cynthia, and hopefully resonate in a few more. I don't think the turnout's going to be, the same amount. I do think we may be looking at what, Mike, 500 versus 500. That might be on the high end, but I really think. Yeah, you know, and we'll be doing that. It's really going to come down to just a few votes. Now, the supervisor election, I wanted to ask you that, Mike. They're counting this second ballot, correct? Or what is it, the issues that you've had? Because I don't want to misspeak, but with the city clerk being involved actually in the election process, how will they be involved on the runoff election, and how do you see that playing a part versus stuff that's happened with the past?
Well, I agree. Turnout election, look, it's all about turnout in a runoff election, and it's going to be tricky. But I think it's important to not put out there that you had to vote in the first election to vote in the second, in the runoff. Every registered voter is still able to get out there and get engaged. I understand it will be a fight of the super voters, but in the greater name of election turnout and helping people get their voice into the polls, let's remind everyone of that. Secondly,
everyone has an opportunity to vote, not a question. Looking at from a strategy standpoint, you know, with the people that, you know, have already been engaged and already, it's going to be even a challenge to get the people who have been engaged,
because
they're going to think that the election
was won.
It will
be way far less turnout than what we saw, likely. Now, we could be shocked, right? Either one of these candidates could have a lightning bolt in the community, but it will come down to a grunt ground game turnout. But one thing that I am worried and that I'll be keeping my very close eye on is the question surrounding City Clerk Alana Brenner. We've already discussed her inaction during the residency and qualifying issue, but I want to also point out this same City Clerk Alana Brenner has felt very empowered to disqualify previous candidates in city council races to keep them off the ballot. The inconsistency that we see within the city of Orlando when they administer their own elections, I think, is one of the biggest red flags. And, again, City Clerk Alana Brenner and her own city hall staff, so staffers that get paid every single day to work for this city council and this mayor, they will be the ones that open, handle, count, and tabulate all the votes, not only on the general election but also in the runoff election. And if you talk to the supervisor of elections,
And if I can just interrupt for just a second, Mike and I don't always agree on a lot of things, but when it comes to Alana Brenner, he and I are spot on in agreement. I question.
So can you break that down?
What
does the supervisor of elections actually do then? Are they just going
to
the supervisor of elections?
I was going to explain that because the supervisor of elections, Bill Cowles, has ceded his own elected authority. He signs a contract. Post Mayor Dyer's indictment for voter fraud, the contract changed. But he signs a contract every year with the city of Orlando that basically turns over control of the absentee ballots and the ballot counting system to Alana Brenner, an appointed official, not an elected official, an appointed official of the incumbent mayor. And, of course, we know Mayor Dyer's connection with Daisy Lynam and the Lynam family is deep. It is known. And we also know that Mayor Dyer, of all people, would not want a voice like Regina Hill on the city council. I think we all would also agree on that. So it will be interesting to see why many voters don't understand that that's how elections have been run the previous, 4 to 6 years here locally in Orlando.
Let
me pause, guys, for a second. I want to take a couple of calls. Those who are listening, I'm going to just call out the last two digits of your phone number. I don't want to put your whole number on the air, but I'm going to call out the last two digits on your phone number. If you are calling in just to listen, I don't have anything that indicates whether you're listening or you want to actually be chimed in. So I'm going to call out the last two digits. If you do not respond, please do stay on the line, and we'll put you back on hold so they can continue listening to the show. Right now I'm going to pick up the phone with the last two digits, 63. Again, if you do not want to make a comment live on the air, I will put you back on hold. Callers with the last two digits, 63, you're on the air. Good afternoon. Hello? Okay, I'm going to put
that
caller.
We want to hear your voice.
I'm going to put that caller back on hold. I'm going to go to another caller, last two digits, 27. Again, last two digits, 27. Last caller, don't hang up. You may just be calling in to listen, and we certainly appreciate you doing so. So don't hang up. I'll just know not to pick the line back up. Last two digits, 27. You're on the line. Are you calling in to make a comment, or are you just on hold? Good afternoon. Hello, last two digits, 27. Okay, so I'll go ahead and put them back on hold. I just wanted to take those couple of calls. We had a couple other people that called in as well that disconnected, so I weren't sure if they wanted to make a comment or not. Go ahead, Chad. You were getting ready to say something else.
Well, I was just going to say that Mike's done a little bit of research on this, from what I understand. And, Mike, is that traditionally how municipal elections are run throughout the state of Florida? Is that your understanding, that the
actually,
city clerk
yeah.
would count the ballots?
No,
has
that's
that ever done
a
like
great
that
question.
In other places?
In fact, I've called every major city inside of Florida, and no other municipal elections are administered or run in the way that Orlando has shaped their own contracts. Very unusual. In fact, many other supervisors of elections, including Hillsborough, Miami, and Jacksonville, were almost shocked and dumbfounded that this would be an issue going on. So this is a very unique case to Orlando.
I'll tell you, I think it stinks like rotten cheese, because here's the thing. You have a supervisor of election who is supposed to be an impartial arbiter looking at these ballots, and then you cede the power over to the city clerk, who works for the powerful city hall, to which has ties to a family member of one of the candidates. Now, that just looks and smells bad. I wasn't in the room. I don't know what happened there. But I can tell you, as a concerned voter, I question what's going on behind closed doors and why it's not being run the way every other city in Florida that I'm aware of runs an election. So I question that. But I also wanted to say one more thing. My expectation is a little bit higher than everyone else's on the line right now. I think we're going to see an amazingly, surprisingly high voter turnout as long mm-hmm. as we tell people when and where mm-hmm. they're supposed to go and vote. Because I think that the message that Regina has of representative government and being the voice for the people by asking the questions and really listening, not this fake listen, but a true listen, so that she can understand the needs of District 5, is going to motivate people. It's going to inspire people. People are looking for this type of hope, and that is going to drive them to the polls.
Okay.
But again,
well, let me be clear. Let me be clear about
where,
yeah. And let me just be clear about the comment you just made, because certainly Randy and I are putting in sweat equity every single day for Regina to win. So it's no way that anybody's expectation can be higher. We're just, you know, I'm just saying that I'm just talking about, you know, just looking at, you know, how we can't say how history is going to shape up, because we don't know. This has never happened. I'm just saying
that's
to get people, a lot of people don't even know that it is the vote. So we're educating mm-hmm. as a part of her campaign. We're having to educate people every day. Did you even know there was a runoff election? Randy's been talking to people even last week who are very high up and didn't even know how the results were. So when I'm saying it's not about not having hope or not expectations or any of that, because I'm working my tail off every day, spending an exorbitant amount of time to do it, I'm just saying that with the issues that we know, placing elections on days that no one knows about, putting it in the middle of a year, you know, at the beginning of the year when no one else is running, also having people come off twice. When's the last time we even had a runoff election, period? So I'm just saying with those challenges that we're looking at, just period, you know, I don't know if 1,500 people are going to show up, but there will be a turnout. I do believe that. There will certainly be over 1,000 or so, but let's look at the amount of people that actually came out, period, versus 20,000 people that were registered. We only had less than 2,000 people that came out, period, and this is from three candidates who have been running, two have been running for over 18 months. So I'm just looking at based on what's
already
happened.
I think it's important to point out that Regina was part of the blueprint, and she was part – here she was. She really did make a lot of mistakes. She's the first person to tell you, and, you know, God love her for coming out and saying she did. But you know what? When the Amway Center was built, there's where she was working. When she decided she wanted more than that, she got her nursing degree, and she got out there and she did that. When she decided, I'm going to take all these failures – that I had in this very community that I live in, and I'm going to flip that around, and I'm going to show you that, guess what, even if you're in the community and you're failing, you can find another way, and I'm going to show you that because I'm going to run for public office, and I'm going to put myself out because, you know, Mike Cantone and I have both run for office, now I'm hearing that there's other people online that have, too.
I think all of us have, every last one of us.
Yeah, you know, what you realize is it's like you're running around without your clothes on the whole time anyway because all people want to do is just sit there and point and laugh and make jokes at you and all that kind of stuff. Here's the thing.
Right.
Regina Hill has illustrated to us that she's willing to sacrifice all of that for a reason. And I have a feeling it has nothing to do with power. Because if it had something to do with power, you know what? I don't think she'd do it. Running for office is not this, it's not amazing. There's nothing. I have a good friend of mine that's a state house rep, and she works for it for $29,500 a year. And I say to myself, my God, why would, you know, people raised over $500,000 for her to run for this $29,500 seat? Guess what? It's because the power that she gets from running for that office gets to allow her to change lives for people, not men or women. For a lot of people in general, whether they're gay,
transgender, all those things. Can I ask you that? How does it feel when people – are there white people – so, Chad, you are here to say that there are white people in the district. Is that correct?
There are. I live
so
here.
There are white people in the district.
There are.
Okay. I just –
my friend Doug Hatch is moving in, so he's here.
Okay. I just want to be clear.
Well,
about
he lives
that
right down the street from her. He must be.
Yeah, there was some confusion about, you know, who could speak for who. And, you know, I tell people all the time, I don't have to be born and raised and live in District 5, you know, my entire life.
Absolutely
you know,
not. I don't live in District 5, but I know every decision Regina Hill will make, or Juan Lineham for that matter, will also affect where I live. It has nothing. It's not just about where their district. I mean, they make decisions, whether it's bedhead taxes or the collective decisions that, you know, in general are made, they affect where I live, too. It's they're still voting on those things when it comes to unanimous decisions.
And real quick, this is Mike. Let's just put out there, I don't know if anyone's actually said the date, but let's remind everyone that this runoff election will be May 6th. We're just weeks away. It's right around the corner, and it's going to be so important to turn out either absentee early or at the polls on May 6th. So it will be, as Chad said, hammering that date, the importance of this action, and the difference, the true difference it can make is going to be critical to that turnout.
True difference. Now,
absolutely.
I was going to just piggyback and say absolutely. That's what I meant when I was saying, you know, the turnout is so critical because it can come down. I mean, well, we saw it. It was 37 votes between Regina and Juan. So every vote really, 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 really does count. So we're asking everyone to not just get involved in this race, but all of the races, to vote local, to continue to be a part of the solution and not the problem. We are all passionate about what we believe in. This is something that is literally we've been talking about 24 hours a day on Facebook, if nothing else, as well as following your article. I want to commend you, Randy, for being one of the founders of Orange County Political Voice. I didn't know about it, and I feel like I've been pretty engaged, and I didn't know about it until this race happened. So it does go to show you that social media and connecting to each other and, you know, listening to different positions, even when we're on differing sides, does make a difference. You know, a lot of people may not like it, may not like the opinion, but like I put on my Facebook today, it's just politics, so just calm down. If anyone has any questions, they call 347-327-9514. I think we've already went into an hour, so I think this was a great show. We do have more we can get into, but I have the same two or three people that have been calling, and I'm assuming I've already picked them up, so I'm assuming that they're just listening. I will try to take this one last call. No, they called before. The last two digits are 27 to see if they can get on the line. Are you there on the show? Okay, guess not. Well, I know Regina Hill has been listening the entire time. And, again, people say I always make the Regina Hill show. Well, guess what? I guess it's just the Regina Hill show. She's been listening the entire hour and a half.
If I can just say one last thing, I just really want to drive this home because, you know, I'm going to be honest again. I am helping the Regina Hill campaign. But here's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that whether you are – in the district listening or know somebody that might be living in the district listening, this is a very important process right now that's going on. If you know an organization or a company the bottom line is Regina Hill does need your support. She does need your, you know, she needs your dollars, all those things that go along in every political process. And I think that in the end, what we're trying to do is help a person that really does want to do the good things. And everything I've heard on this call so far reminds me that I'm doing the right thing by supporting her. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to bring in Regina Hill so people can hear directly from the candidate, directly from, like they say in the old term, the horse's mouth. And then once we hear from Regina, I do want all of my guests to stay on the line, and I want to give you a couple of minutes to wrap up, leave some finding some last thoughts, and also any projects that you're working on that you want people to be involved in as well. I believe in cross-promotion, and I'm always grateful when people take the time to be a part of my projects, and I certainly want to give you guys a couple of minutes to talk about anything you want to talk about, so I'm going to get right back to Randy, Mike, and Chad. But first, let's go straight to Regina Hill, directly from her. She's been listening the entire hour, as usual. She's always been listening to what the people have to say. And Regina, thank you for joining us. If you're still there, if you can hear me, I wanted to give you a couple of minutes as well, just to remind people why you're running and how important this is to you and what they can do to help you out.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Hi, Regina.
Hi, I'd like to thank everyone for their support, the encouraging words along the way. This has been a long 16 months. I've been encouraged. You know, a vote for me is a vote for the people of District 5, and as Randy Ross said, the city of Orlando. I believe in democracy. I believe in building relationships. And for so long, there has been no one to speak for the people of District 5. They haven't had a voice. Our homes are in shambles. No one. There's homelessness. There's no jobs. I feel as if the people of District 5 haven't been treated fairly by their very own representative. And I decided to get in the race because I wanted to be that voice. I wanted, because I had lived there, I've grown up there, I've gone through many, many struggles there that I've overcame, that I could identify with the everyday person there in District 5. I know how to put things in place because I independently had to pull up my bootstraps and overcome not just, you know, my past, but I also was on welfare, always also was on food stamps. I also lived in a one-bedroom apartment. And I decided, you know, there's so many resources here in District 5. $1.2 billion in the last 4 to 5 years has been spent there in District 5, especially in the Paramore area. And I decided, you know, I don't have an issue with the venues because the venues create opportunities. It creates jobs. It creates contracts for minority business owners, non-minority business owners. There had been a moratorium put on nonprofits to where they couldn't come back and help restore the community with our homeless issue, where our mental health issue, with substance abuse issues, to where the people can be restored and revitalized. And I said, why not me? And I knew that, you know, I would be attacked, as up until today I've been attacked. But I was willing to fight the good fight for the people, standing with the people and standing for the people. Win or lose on this election. Yes.
No, win or lose. You go ahead, finish.
Win or lose in this election. I will continue to work in the behalf of the people. I haven't just started this during a campaign season. I have been doing this for years, as Randy stated, going and helping seniors, helping welfare moms, helping kids try to stay straight and on the straight and narrow by going out and telling my story, going out and letting them know that someone cares. So this story,
I'm sorry, honey. I'll talk. It's hard with apologize. We're not sitting face to face, so it's hard to kind of the feedback. I want to ask you, just explain. I want you to tell people your 24-hour cycle of. Because I don't think people have an understanding, and all of us on the phone certainly know because we've all ran for office, what your day run down your timeline in 24 hours, because I get really frustrated when I hear people say, oh, well, you know, I didn't have time, or I was busy with a family, or Juan's busy with his family, he's this, he's that. Run through your 24-hour period and so that it can make sense to people why we are pushing so hard for you and your efforts.
Okay, I work 45 hours a week. I work from 11 to 7 in the mornings, weekdays. Then on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I am with a paraplegic patient that I've been caring for the last 6 years, 2 to 3 hours per day, mornings. And then I'm out canvassing on every day, knocking on doors, listening to the constituents of District 5. I also go out and volunteer in other communities. I volunteer with battered women. I volunteer in the D.C. I volunteer in the gay community. Wherever there's someone that needs someone to stand with them in a cause, I'm always available. I support the Tinkerfield effort. And then I'm being called, especially now, to radio shows, to community events. And I don't feel pressured. Do I get weary? Yes, because I'm only human. I've lost quite a bit of weight, almost 20 pounds because of the cycle of this campaign. But it really, really makes me feel good when I'm out with the people and engaging with the people, and they're talking to me, and they see hope in their future through me. And that's all I wanted. I don't want power. I have a job, so I'm not looking for a paycheck. I just needed a larger platform to continue to do the work that I have been doing in the community. And I decided, well, if I become city commissioner, I can have a larger platform and bring more resources to help the downtrodden, the disenfranchised, to help small business owners. And also my hope was to build a better relationship between the people and those that at City Hall, because most of the people in the community, and that's throughout every community, a district, feel as if they're not a part of the democratic process, because certain leaders haven't engaged them, haven't been transparent, haven't been accountable. So they feel like as if they're out alone. And what I wanted to do was make sure that I bring information to especially District 5, help them to become engaged in the civic process, also be a mediator from the mayor's office and the other commissioners back to our district, so that it'll be a relationship as one city, one government, one people. And that's my hope. I'm not someone who's going to be renegade at City Hall trying to bring down the mayor and other commissioners. I'm someone that want to work with the city and work with the mayor so that there can be inclusion of all. That's my hope.
But you will, Regina, if there is a position that you need to take, you will most certainly take that position. Is that correct?
It will be on the side of the people, and that's who sent me. I will always be a servant. I'm not a politician. I will always be a servant of the people and won't ever forget who has sent me and who voice that needs to be heard. No, I'm not afraid to stand up and stand out about issues that doesn't represent the people. It is
right,
about the people, and I do believe – and I do believe, and maybe, you know, this is just my pure heart, that when I bring these issues to the mayor and other commissioners, allowing them to truly hear what the people's thoughts are and what they need, because I don't even think the mayor, even the commissioners, has the opportunity to know the true thoughts of the people, because it has been a dictatorship and that seat for so long, and it wasn't
that's true.
What the people thought is what that one individual, which is the line,
that's true, but
thought.
That's true, but certainly I know Mike and Tone can agree to this, because I've stood in line to make comments at certain public forums, and I know they're doing that right now. They've heard, you know, a lot, and like you said, I think that's your pure heart, which is which makes you such a fantastic candidate, because it's good when people have pure hearts and see the best in people. I know you and I talk about that every day. But I believe like you said, the voices have been heard, but when their own elected official does not demand that those things are seen through, that is where the problem comes in. And secondly, people are not involved If there is one thing that I will say with the text gate issue, and, you know, even with the ballot and all of that stuff, and when all those people organized against the mayor's thousands of people that have made their voice heard, and that still didn't follow through, and that fight is still going on. So I don't think it's always necessarily, you know, they just don't know or they're unaware. It just comes down to those individual commissioners that have that right and that right to vote in which way they're going to swing. So that's why I just wanted to make it, you know, clear to everyone that you certainly are a candidate that has no problem standing, clearly, or you wouldn't be standing now based on everything that you've been through, and that you are a candidate that will work with individuals, but at the same time, you will certainly make your voice heard.
Indeed.
You know, Taz, one of the things that Regina just said that I think is really, really critical and so distinct about her candidacy that I never hear anymore, and I think people are forgetting what the role of an elected leader is. She said, "I am a servant."
Mm-hmm.
What a gift to know that your elected leader is going there to actually work and actually get something done and serve the people. That is what the role of an elected official does. It's not to go to fancy dinners. It's actually to go and do work. And so I'm thankful for you, Regina, and thank you for saying that.
Thank you for your support, Chad.
All right, anything else? Okay, well, I'm going to place just a closing statement, Regina. What can people do to help you? Then I'm going to go around to each one of you to have your closing remarks before we close out. How can people help you, Regina, in this cause? It's helpful to be a part of your movement, but people need to know how can they do that. Can you take about 2 minutes on what people can do, what you need, what we can continue to do to help you, and then I'm going to go to the other guests on the call.
As Randy Rose stated previously, we are going to need resources. And resources is funding. And you can go to www.facebook.com/Regina Hill for District 5 and donate there. You can donate $5, $2, $10, $100, whatever you can afford. We are going to need people on the ground, people volunteering to go door-to-door to spread the good news that their voices will be heard, and a vote for Regina Hill is a vote for a better District 5. Also, I tell you, I know it's not a popular thing to say, but I've stated it throughout my campaign, and something that I truly believe in. If you can't give money, if you're not able to get on the ground with me and go door to door, help with fundraising, is a prayer. I need a lot of prayer. So if you can just pray, if you're a convicted felon and you can't vote for me, but you also know that I will be standing in the trenches daily so you can be restored and made whole. And even if you haven't, or it does take time to get your rights restored, that I will be working with community stakeholders for job creation so you can become a productive citizen, so you don't have to stand on the streets and sell dope, so you don't have to feel as if you're disconnected with society, that we will make you someone that is taxpayer. Have your family members go out and vote for you. I would like for you to get 5 family members, and this is going out to all the convicted felons out there that lives in District 5. I have family members in District 5. Get 5 people to go to the polls and stand in the gap for you. I'm asking that all the community stakeholders inbox me. I would love to have a meeting with you because it's going to take a coalition of non-profits, for-profits, leaders in the community, grassroots organizers to make District 5 the District 5 that we all want to see, one that's flourishing again, one that the people are being empowered. Not only are we building buildings, now we're building people that are being restored and revitalized, that we're helping our seniors, that we're helping those that want a voice again.
Okay, let me ask you this, Regina, before you close out, because there was a lot of discussion about it, and I always like people to hear directly from the horse's mouth. Explain the residency issue, the issue with the homestead, so you can clear that up so that now we can go on Facebook and talk about that for 200 posts deep, and let them hear directly from you as far as the questions about your residency before we close out.
Sure, there's two things that I would like to address. Immediately after the election, and Juan Lyman saw that we were going to a runoff, I guess there was an FDLE investigation launched on Juan Lynam, and he immediately said that I'm being investigated for voter fraud and illegal campaign donations. Neither of those are correct. I am not being investigated by anyone. There was a complaint filed by a young lady. I don't know, and we did a press release on that. I have no idea what she's talking about, but there has not been an investigation for voter fraud against me. I work too hard to try to take anybody's voice. I'm trying to give people a voice. Second of all, I had a loan that was by a stamp. I haven't received any monies from any other campaign outside of a bulk mail stamp, and which was repaid already before the election. And as far as my residence, in 1997, I purchased my first home there in the Pine Hills area. I still own that home, in which my adult children, a disabled brother, and my granddaughter lives in. I have not filed homestead exemption at that residency since 2009, because one thing I'm not a cheater and I'm not a thief. So due to the fact that that hasn't been my permanent residency since that time, I have not tried to get government subsidies on that property.
Okay, so you heard it right here, folks. No question, no confusion. Regina Hill says that the loan was paid back to Derek Wallace. If anybody have any questions, they can certainly call Derek Wallace, but I know they won't, because everybody who knows Derek Wallace knows not to call Derek Wallace with foolishness. So saying one thing on Orange County Political Voice is one thing, and then when it gets down to the real, we really know what it is, and certainly the real knows that. So she's answered that. She's talked about the residency issue. She's talked about the allegations that no one has formally came to her with any type of investigation. The early on issue with the allegation that was made by Ms. Burgess never went anywhere, because guess what, folks? Beverly Burgess said she took the ballot, but guess what? The ballots hadn't even been mailed out yet. So before people get on Orange County Political Voice talking and saying this is what happened and not happened, get the facts straight. But one thing I will certainly say is Regina Hill has always made herself available and accountable to ask questions. I can see Randy right now trying to encourage Jabril to call into the show, but he's not going to call in because we differ. It's easier to fight a war on the keyboard than it is, you know, with the real deal. So thank you so much.
And that was just a smoke screen. Because the other thing that I would like to say before we end this call is this. You know, I find it disheartening, and this man, that candidate Juan Lynam, states that he finds it surprising that people would support someone like me. Well, there's many Regina Hills in District 5. I'm not the only one that has had struggles and obstacles to overcome in a district that has been in poverty for decades, that have made poor decisions. So is he saying he will not represent those people if he thumb his nose down on me and think I'm less than human because I've had struggles? Is he saying that you guys can vote for me, but you would never lead our community? What is he truly saying about those in District 5, that there is just the elite group that he want to represent? Or is he saying that he listened to the people? Well, there's so many people. If it's not them, they have a nephew, they have a niece, they have a daughter, they have a son that has the same struggles that Regina Hill has. Is he not going to represent them?
No, he's not. He didn't represent them. First of all, this man is an attorney. So for someone who's an attorney that has sworn to advocate for the justice and sworn to advocate for what's right, and you sit by idle and say nothing at all, I'm going to law school just so I can actually be an attorney who's not afraid to speak up, because it's not about being in cliques and, you know, being a part of one group or another. You swore, the same reason why I went to the military and why you went to the military, Regina, to live. Literally, I'm willing to give my life for what's right for this country. So it's not a question of what he says. It's a question on what he's done. What has he done up until now? This would be a mute argument, like Randy said earlier, if there was something behind his record besides him having a client or two, besides him standing next to Natalie Jackson, besides him wanting to be in charge of the African-American Chamber of Commerce. There should be a legions of people that should be standing up and speaking. When you talk about the blueprint, I just want to chime in on that, because you being a part of that program and going through the procedure major and then not being certified, always whenever you tell that story, feel implied to tell my story, because it seems that even though you go through the process and get the people working, it still doesn't work out. I was a vendor. I did go through the certification process. I went and got the contract before even being certified, so I got it on the back end. When I went to go be certified, they questioned the fact that I actually was successful at placing 300 individuals without the City of Orlando certification. The city did not believe me. You can go and look it up on the internet. I literally had to fax over 300-plus W-2s to show that I was the owner of my company. So after they reluctantly gave me the certification, then I continued doing what I had already been doing. Second, when the prime contractor took over, because my prime lost the contract and employees were laid off as a result of that, I emailed Sam Eames and Daisy Lynam saying the employees are no longer, just because I'm no longer a contractor, the employees should not be hurt. Please step in to make sure that the new contractor hires the old employees and not make them go through a long line of trying to get back in. Did Daisy or Sam respond? No, they did not. Did the employees have to stand in the line, go through the application process as if they had not worked there? Some employees had been working there 5, 10, 15 years. Did they have to go through the line and start all the way over? Yes, they did. Were they guaranteed a position? No, they were not. Were they fired when they got in and then they moved in other people that they could pay at lower rates? Yes, they were. So as a vendor of the blueprint, I'm sorry. I can't stand here and say that it was a great system, because no one, not one time, one elected official has called to see if I hired people from that blueprint office. I did it because it was the right thing to do. I hired from Vivian Jackson, who was my employee, one of my attempts before she went to work at the blueprint, and I connected with her. I went to New Covenant because I wanted to connect the volunteers that I had to give an opportunity. I went to Workforce Academy to work with Randy, who's now Representative Randy Bracey, to hire 100-plus students as well. I went to Urban League on my own to hire 30 people with the blueprint. Not one time has any elected official called me to say, are you actually hiring from the community? There was no due diligence at all. It was a great contract for me, no due diligence. When we had the lockout.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when we had the lockout, I was the only contractor in the country that stood up. Mike was around during that time, that stood up to say that these vendors, that these employees will not be able to be compensated during the Christmas break due to the lockout. Not one elected official came and stood with me on those steps. So I just wanted to point out about the blueprint that it's not the program that I think it should be, and it does need some work. Go ahead, Chad.
Pick up on that. I mean, I was also a season ticket holder of the Magic and the Predators, so I was down at Amway many times while your employees that you helped get those jobs were there. And I've expressed this to you in the past. It was a noticeable difference when those employees were removed by City Hall's decision. They created these temp agencies to now run this. And I think I just want to back up what you were saying, because unfortunately, Mayor Dyer and this city council, they do not have interest in employing local residents, especially from District 5. That's why no one called you to follow up. And that's why even recently on the new venues projects, the City of Orlando claimed they went down Paramore Avenue, and they claimed they could not find any interest from the Paramore community for people looking for jobs. Now, we all know that's not true. And as we heard from Regina and others, there is this idea that these investments will lead to jobs. But let's just be real honest. These lead to jobs for out-of-town firms, for out-of-town workers. In fact, many of the workers that built the original venues came from Texas and went right back to Texas when they were done. So
it's the dupe.
There
it's
has
the
to be a fighter in
we're
City
getting
Hall.
Duped.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So I have to
it's
say that every single time. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't promise people something if they go to the program and they think that they're going to get it. They do all the right steps, and they think that they're going to get qualified. This is a program that Daisy Lynam herself developed, promising people you can have work. And so they took time out and went and got qualified, and then nothing. Mm-hmm. This is not the type of legacy we want to continue.
Mm-hmm.
It's the
and
smoke
I, and
mirrors.
And I really wish – yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's a smoke and mirrors game that I think voters are tired of and that people in District 5 are definitely sick of. And mm-hmm. one of the things that's very refreshing is to hear someone answer a question, Tez. I mean, you said mm-hmm. you made calls and you never got a call back. I call City Hall. I never have gotten a call back, not even from an assistant.
So it is one of those sort of things where when you ask Regina Hill a question, you're going to get an answer. And that's pretty important. That's pretty
Now, let me answer this because they're asking our friends, the Ali's. I got to love them. They're listening in. I really do love them. But they have they don't want to come in because she said this is a death trap. But they had a question. Also, Regina was saying that the loan that was paid back to Derek Wallace is illegal. And I just want to say this just from just my candidate protection standpoint. I don't know what Derek Wallace did was illegal, not illegal, or if it was right or not right. What I can tell you is this, that Derek Wallace is available to answer any questions, and what I can tell you is that Derek Wallace was touched by Regina, and I'm just answering Jabrell and Stacey's question, that no one at all stood in the gap, particularly from our African-American, you know, key stakeholders, to actually donate money, to help her, to give her in kind. This is why I haven't charged Regina a dime. My services have been in kind, and most of everyone else's, because people were afraid to donate to her campaign. Derek Wallace said that it was about time that somebody actually stepped up to help the young lady, and I don't want to speak on his behalf because I'm not his campaign spokesperson, but as far as Regina Hill is concerned, her knowing whether it was right, wrong, illegal, not illegal, that's not for her to decipher. She has no, and I'll let her answer, but I just remember I do her communication, so I want to be clear that if it was illegal or not illegal, that has nothing to do with Regina Hill. But you certainly can ask that question to Derek Wallace. Call Derek Wallace and ask him. And if he did something wrong, then I guess they'll deal with him as well. But Regina Hill was
somebody that nobody was willing to help.
Go ahead, Regina.
It sounds like we're headed to the wrap-up, and I'm just going to step up and do my part first because, I'm just busy like that. I'm just going to do it. Here's how I feel about this entire process. I met Regina actually offline originally because she walked with – I have this project I do called Walk a Mile on Her Heels for Harbor House, and I had never met Regina prior to that. And she came and she walked – basically alone that year. That was a number of years ago. And, she did it without even a Regina Hill sign in her hand. She did it because she felt for domestic abuse folks and survivors and wanted to support the process. And soon after that, she reached out to me to do this project over in Carver Shores with 24 Hours with Mrs. Smith. And you know what? It was not easy for a white gay guy to go over and work in a district in a black community, and she helped me through that process, and we made it out somehow still as friends, even though it was a struggle. And I learned a lot about how the black community works compared to the white community, and one of the things I realized in the end, I still supported what she believed in. She believed in the people of the district. She believed in being able to relate to white people, black people. It didn't matter what their sexual orientation was. She was still there in the process. And I realized that for me, as a person who had this political page at the same time, I felt it was important to make sure she had a very positive voice in that process. And so it's very difficult for me at times to be an objective voice because I believe so hard in what it is she's doing. So as we wrap this conversation up tonight, I can tell you, I love Michael Cantone. He and I don't always agree, but guess what? He is out there fighting the fight for what he believes in. Therefore, tonight on this call, I applaud him again because he and I believe in so much of the same things. You know, Chad and I don't know each other quite as well except for Orange County Political Voice, but I got to say to you, as a resident, you're in the district, and I applaud that what you're saying to me, knowing that Juan doesn't live, from your knowledge as a neighbor in that district, is important for me to hear. I say to you as a friend of Regina, and as I say this as a person who believes in what it is she's doing, I will be out there for the next 3 weeks asking for money, asking for votes, and continuing to support her message. I believe it's that important. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that
Randy,
who are listening on this call will do the same thing.
That's right. And
Randy, thank you so much. The thing is
that we have some big buildings over here in District 5, too. You know, District 5 is a big district. It goes all the way to to Magnolia. And so we have 55 West. We can reach out. There are a lot of gay people that live in those buildings, too, and they're part of District 5. Their voices matter. So let's keep having conversations and all of this because Regina's listening. And, I think it's great.
If you have to go, Randy, I certainly understand. But, Regina, I do want to respond. I just wanted to give my comment on the Derrick Wallace thing because we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. As, again, Derrick Wallace said he has done nothing illegal, and people can certainly call him. But did you want to respond to that to answer the question so they can hear from you? I gave my thought.
I thought that I had already addressed that issue.
Yeah.
That it was okay. That I am not being investigated for any illegal campaign donations. I spoke with the Elections Commission in Tallahassee. I explained my position. It was not a cash loan. It was just a bulk stamp that was used that they're making this big deal about on one of my mailers. That rate has been paid back.
Perfect. Yeah, no, I know the attorney and Chad said not to, but we needed to go ahead and, you know, get that out there, and we had permission to do it just to get it out there so we can move on. Thank you so much,
Regina,
for your comment.
And I believe this is just another smoke screen from the Lion Camp to divert his real FDLE investigation.
Right. And Juan needs to worry about losing his. Chad, what happens if Juan is found? What does that look like in the attorney world? Could he possibly lose his law license with the investigation?
Well, again, I don't know anything that Juan Lynam has done that's illegal criminally or not criminally. We don't know all the facts. FDLE is doing an investigation, and I am not going to jump to any conclusion about a criminal case. I will tell you that I have been involved in too many serious criminal investigations with the Orlando Police Department, Orange County Sheriff's Office, NBI, and FDLE to know better than to think that I know what they're up to or to try to second-guess what they're going to do. However, if he was convicted of any type of crime, if he was arrested for any type of crime, he would have to answer to the Florida bar, and that's not going to be a pleasant experience for Mr. Lynam. So, but again, everybody should presume that nobody is guilty of committing any type of crime until the government can prove it, and that's my position on that. So I'm not gonna speculate as to whether or not Mr. Lynam has done anything until I see all the evidence.
Absolutely. I just wanted to know, you know, the prediction, what would happen, you know, because he has a lot at stake with being an attorney. But anyway, we're going to you know, it's not like he's just doing data entry. You know, there is something called the Florida bar.
Mm-hmm.
And if they think if you take
an oath, just like you said, Kez, I mean, you were hitting the nail on the head. You took an oath to the Constitution, and that oath is a sacred oath. To practice law should be a calling. And so if you don't do it right, and if you're not going to do it ethically, then you just really shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we've heard from Regina. I'm going to, now that we're wrapping up, Randy has said his last closing things, except Randy, is there anything that I'm going to come right to you, Mike and Tone? Randy, is there anything that you're working on outside of this that you want to let people know about? Great job on the Walk a Mile in My Shoes concept. The purple shoes are on fire. You're well. What size? You're welcome to give me a 7.5. You know, so they're on fire.
Yeah, those are 10. Those are 11. Those are 7.
Okay.
You know,
I'm
here's the deal. I'll just continue to put my message. I think that is important to reminding people that Regina is in this runoff. That, you know, Mike and I have been through the situation, it sounds like everybody on the phone. If you don't get people off the vote, it doesn't matter how wonderful your message was. So I'm hoping that the people listening tonight will say, you know what, whatever, I got to get out there and I've got to cast a vote, whether that's an absentee ballot, whether that's going out the vote, you know, and we're going to do our job on this end. I got to tell you right now, we're going to make sure people know to get out there on that date, because if they don't get out there and vote, in the end, a mistake is going to happen. And it's nothing against Juan. He's probably a great guy. I'm sure he's fun to hang out with, have beers with. But the bottom line is, he is not the person I think should be in this office. He is not the person a district away from me that I want representing the city of Orlando. And as a result of that, I'm going to do everything that I can on my end to make sure that the message is out to vote and make sure you vote for Regina Hill.
All right. Stay on hold with me, Randy, one quick second, just because I want to close out with everyone on the show. Mike Cantone, give us a couple of minutes on some closing statements, any projects that you're working on that you want to mention, closing statements on this particular race, what you feel, and then we'll kind of go from there, and we'll close up with Chad.
Definitely. Well, I'm again, proud of everyone running in this race, especially you, Regina Hill. Cynthia Harris as well for her contribution. And I know at least with those candidates, we know that this election, no matter what happens, that's not the last we're going to see from these two fighters. And that's a win for the community right there. I would also like to just say that I'm very much paying attention to this race because of the work that I've done with the Fight Back Coalition, with my co-founder, Luana Gelzer, who I'm very proud of the work that we've been able to put together inside the Paramore community, inside Orlando's historic African-American neighborhood that has struggled so long, in part thanks directly to the policies, the destructive policies that have come out of City Hall. And that's why I believe the voters will have a chance to come out and make their voices heard. And I think change is definitely very possible. We'll be continuing no matter who wins. With our Stop Creative Village and anti-gentrification campaigns throughout District 5 in the Paramore community. And I would just like to say as a public service announcement, because of all the work I've been doing, no matter who you're going to vote for in this election or any election moving forward, I have a feeling more and more here in Central Florida, these elections are going to be decided at the mailbox, no longer at the ballot box. So please, follow all the instructions on your ballots, on your absentee. Sign your signature across that seal. Seal that envelope before you hand it to anyone, especially a paid staffer of any campaign. And make sure you're taking control of the integrity of your ballot and your vote in this process. Politics does impact everything, and I hope District 5 and everyone across Central Florida will encourage everyone they know to get off the sidelines and to get out there and vote on May 6th.
All right, Mike. Thank you so much for joining me. Stay on hold. One quick second. It's been a pleasure working with Mike, certainly since I've been in Orlando, Florida, and we've had difference of opinions with other candidates that I'm supporting that he's not supporting, and we'll get to that when that fight comes up. But again, it's hard to not be involved and with the same people who work behind the scenes. Sometimes we rotate, and this is just one particular candidate that we happen to believe in as far as this candidate or whether Cynthia Harris or regardless, we do believe that the line of legacy needs to no longer exist. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining me. Please stay on hold so I can close out and hear my closing thoughts. Chad, let me give you a couple of minutes. Chad, is there any closing thoughts you want to say, anything you're working on? And I know that you're a selfless person, but I do want people to know how to get in contact with you in case they need an attorney.
Sure. If they want to get in contact with me, they can call me at 407-470-9999. But more than that, I just want to refocus and remind everybody that at the end of this election, the community is going to come together, and it's really going to be an exciting change year. Regina has really ignited a spirit of change in this community. It's motivating people, and that's a wonderful thing for our democracy. As someone who believes very strongly in the idea of representative government and representative voice and the idea of the collective voice being the only way a leader can lead, I am so inspired by someone like Regina Hill. And so for me, this is giving me great hope. And I am grateful to be a part of this conversation and for all the others that were on the line today and those of you that are listening. But I do hope that you will talk to Regina. If you have something to say to Regina, she's available. She'll be around. And that's one of the great things that you won't see in other places.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, Chad. Regina, before we go, before I give my closing statements, a lot of people are listening to you right now on Orange County Political Voice for sure. I'm getting inboxes. People are commenting. So a lot of people who have been fighting the good fight for you are listening. And so I just wanted to, since we did address, all of the big elephants in the room, I wanted to give you a last two minutes just to speak to those people directly who have been, supporting you on Facebook, supporting you in social media, supporting you at the ballot box, to give you two more minutes to say any goodbyes to them as well, and then I'll give my last statements, and then we'll wrap up.
Thank you, Tess, and thank you to Randy, to Mike, and also to Chad, and also to yourself. But, yes, Facebook has been a people movement. From all the love and encouragement daily that I've received from all my Facebook supporters, it has carried me this far. And also to my campaign team there that have been on the ground daily going door-to-door with me, I like to thank them. But as you stated, I would not have gotten this far without the supporters of those on the ground, those behind the scenes, and also those on Facebook. I don't take them slightly because they share what I'm doing on their pages daily. They're sending when I'm tired and beat down and beat up by media and those that really don't want to see change. Their inspirational words and posts and inboxes really let me know that I'm not alone in this fight, that the people are standing with me as I stand with them, and I can't thank them enough, and I love them. And that is a genuine love. It's not a campaign love. I feel as if that we're all on the same team. And I tell you, what I received throughout this campaign, I'll never forget, and I cherish it, and I'm grateful. And I won't let the community down, and I won't let my supporters down. Even when elected, I will continue to be the Regina Hill that they met on the campaign trail or met many moons ago. I will stay true to who I am and true to the people. And I want them to continue to make sure that we engage the voters and remind the voters that on May 6th we have a runoff and that there can be change, and it starts with each and every one of us. And I can't thank everyone enough for all the support. You guys are the wind beneath my wings, and I sincerely mean that, and I thank you all.
All right. Hold on for me, Regina. I'm going to give my last closing statements. I want to thank everybody for listening again. I can't thank you enough. I've been a servant my entire life, and all I've wanted to do was to serve her well in her interest in this campaign. I can tell you, like Chad, that I am someone that has not been motivated on a local level, but I have a lot of political friends. But this is the first time that I've been actually motivated from a candidate on this level to engage so much time, so much resources, so many sweat equity hours in to push her forward. In fact, the last time I was motivated by anyone was watching Shirley Chisholm's videos. Obviously, I wasn't alive at that time to vote for Shirley Chisholm, but that was the last time that I was actually motivated from a candidate. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I have talked to this woman all through the night. We have cried together. We have prayed together. We have got upset together. We have yelled, screamed, name it, whatever it is that we've had to do to get through to this point. I have not been with her from the very beginning. I have been with her for the last 90 days or so, and I'm proud to do so. Regina Hill is somebody that has your interest. I can certainly tell you for sure. She is someone that has listened to hard criticism, tough criticism out there on the ground. She has stood the fire. She's withstood it, and she truly does care about District 5, and not just District 5, but people as a whole. Let us not be ashamed to get behind someone who is behind the homeless. Let us not be ashamed to get behind someone that's behind the gay community. Let us not be ashamed to get behind someone who has even worked with whites, blacks, Hispanics, African Americans in high positions, as well as African Americans, blacks, Hispanics in low positions. Let us not be ashamed to get behind someone that has no problem putting all of their skeletons and pulling them out the closet and examining them bone by bone. This is why I stand behind Regina Hill. This is why I want you to vote for her on May 6th. This is why I spend the amount of time in the shows, because she is truly somebody that has your interest. No disrespect to Juan Lynham. I have had a drink with him, not a beer, but we certainly sat down and had a glass of wine, and he's someone that I knew early on. But I cannot be true to myself, be true to my country, and be true to my God if I do not stand behind what is right. Regina Hill is what is right for District 5. She is what is right for Orlando politics. She is what is right for Florida. She is what is right for this nation. And as long as we can continue to keep connecting on the phone, connecting on the airwaves, connecting on the ground, we will see a difference in politics. Contrary to popular belief and what Juan says about her being just someone, she is that someone that you need at City Hall. She's that someone that has someone in your family that's a cousin that experienced the same thing. She is the someone that I would have been caught up in had my life not turned into a different direction. So I want to thank you for listening to my commentary, my guest commentary, even when we disagree. Thank you for those who are listening that were once on the line with me that didn't disagree. Your voice is still important. All of us have a say, and effectively Orlando politics has changed. So I want to thank you again. Please stay connected. Vote. Get out on vote in May 6th for Regina Hill for your next Orlando City commissioner, please donate. Those who are listening who know Randy Ross, contact Randy for any type of fundraising information that you may need, fundraising parties, parties within your home, $5, $10, it all adds up to make a difference. You can certainly contact me for any communications that you may need, any literature that you may need to help get Regina's voice out. Until then, we'll do it again. Hopefully have another show after the election and see how that all goes down. But I want to thank you again for listening to me, Teslin Figaro, as your host this evening for the District 5 Pulse Analysis with my guests, Chad Curran, Mike Cantone, Randy Ross, and then last but not least, having Regina Hill on the phone with her. I want to thank you again. And for more information about me, you can visit www.teslinfigaro.com. Thank you, everybody.
Teslin Figaro. Teslin Figaro. .com.